Welcome to our inquiry session. You are familiar with the form now. You're welcome to come with an experience to explore. Oh, we have someone already. Come. Hello? Yes. Yes, I can. Please listen rather deeply, rather respectfully. Listening also to the inward movements of your own heart and mind, your reactions. Sometimes we are thinking about what's being said. Sometimes we're commentating, sometimes we're evaluating, and sometimes we're just deeply listening. Deep listening has an extraordinary power to bring depth to the inquiry. So the invitation is to listen really deeply. You can contemplate and reflect and think about what's happened later. The instruction is really just to fully, fully listen with attention. And of course, at any time you may say thank you and leave, or I may say thank you and leave. So, yes, go ahead. What's your name?
Aria.
Okay, Aria.
So, the session yesterday, I was a bit cynical about it.
Yes.
But it prompts a lot of movement.
Yes. Inside.
And after going outside and walking meditation, and it was more difficult for me to maintain a kind of a focused, steady mind.
Yes.
And emotions kept rising and rising and rising.
Okay.
And then there was the evening session here, which was strong for me.
Yes.
And we went to bed, and I started thinking about the concept of the impermanence.
Yes.
And then I started really getting into it.
Good. Yes.
And I started thinking about my mother.
Yes.
And I started thinking about how I would turn the engine on to the car, and I would be on my way to her place, but she wouldn't be alive anymore.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I started weeping.
Oh.
And then I was imagining calling friends of her.
Mm.
And now letting them know that she passed. And the concept really got kind of touched reality for me.
Beautiful.
And it left me. First of all, I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried.
Oh.
And,
so you love your mother?
Very much.
Oh.
And we have a very complicated relationship.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I was just pondering on how challenging it is to really maintain this visceral sense of really feeling the impermanence, because I get into the habit of taking for granted all the time.
Yes.
And once you don't take for granted, then it hits you.
Yes.
It's really impermanent.
Yes.
It's not just a concept.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we see the significance of impermanence, and it actually means that we will lose or be separated from everyone we love, eventually through death, it's difficult. It's really painful to come to terms with loss, the loss of someone we love. In this case, your mother's still alive. You were just thinking about the very fact that she will most likely die before you.
And it's somehow it's easier to grasp impermanence through her than my own impermanence.
Mm. Yes.
But which is serves as a reminder.
Yes.
To my impermanence.
Yes. Yes.
Just the difficulty of growing old, observing that.
Yes. So say a little more about the realization of the depth of impermanence and what that means to you. You were very touched. You saw the reality of it, just not the theoretical idea. It's very easy to think, oh, yes, of course. All conditioned things are impermanent. We think about that. But to really know it and feel it brings the sorrow and sadness, actually, that you felt last night. But then what? What's the wisdom aspect of this?
It's really a waste of time on dealing with the small, petty little things that we have between us in our relationship.
Yes. Yes.
When it can end every second.
Exactly. So there needs to be a clear seeing of that and a letting go of the little annoyances, the small things, the differences of view that we have with our family, with our parents, with our friends, those we love.
And I think that in the moment when we're about to explode between us,
yes,
it's very hard to catch yourself just before that moment and kind of the instinct kicks in and there's an explosion. But if I would be able to kind of embody this feeling of impermanence, then I'd say, does it really matter? Does it?
Exactly. So when you reflected last night on the potential death of your mother, the feeling that came was one of love, wasn't it?
Love and appreciation.
Yes. So could this be one of the most important things? This is the antidote, actually, to the negativity, metta or friendliness, kindness. Love is the antidote to anger, to hatred. Okay. So, what else does seeing impermanence, and I mean really seeing and knowing and feeling it deeply, tell you? It says, don't cling to trivial differences. Don't cling to negativity. What else does it tell you?
acts as a mirror to to the negativity I have towards myself as well, to the harshness.
Yes. Yes. So the harshness towards oneself needs to go as well. Are you harsh towards yourself?
Very much.
Okay. And yet, your heart is soft.
And I realize also that the harshness towards my mother comes from the pain of seeing her getting older. And wanting for her to take care of herself.
Yes.
And so I'm hard with herself.
Mm.
I'm hard with her so she can push herself and work out and another.
But what?
It brings just the opposite.
Yes. Yes. So there's some changes coming in the relationship that you have with your mother. Wonderful. Is there anything else that impermanence shows you?
I was able to see, not from a concept kind of view, but kind of be able to hold both sides of the spectrum of how sad life is and how beautiful it is at the same time.
Yes. Yes. So when we can just be with that duality, the sadness and the beauty, it's, the English word is poignant. It's exquisitely beautiful yet painful and sad at the same time. Mm. So this is a shift for you, isn't it? In how to relate to the world, how to meet others, how to meet yourself, how to meet your mother.
I'm careful.
Pardon?
I'm careful.
Yeah.
For sure. It touches a very tender spot.
Yes, I can see.
Yeah. Hoping to work on the patterns as well that bring the entanglements.
Yes.
But it's very strong. This feeling.
The habit patterns, you mean, or the new feeling?
The feeling, the actual kind of feeling, the depth of the impermanence.
Beautiful. So rest into that. Sit with it. Be with that. There's even more to come. Yes, anybody? Yes, come. Hello.
Hi.
If you could say your name for everybody.
Sarah.
Welcome.
My question is about, I'm asking who's in charge.
Oh.
Like,
who's in charge? She said, not me.
Like I'm having very, very good, decision making. Like, for example, I'm very happy here. My life is perfect. I want to come home to meditate and to exercise yoga every day. And then I come home. No connection between.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the biggest struggle of my life.
Ah.
Like, I'm really great in my mind. Great person. I liked it. But in reality, nothing. Not nothing,
no,
you know.
No. That's being a bit tough.
Yeah. Okay. Like 20% of what I said. So who's in charge?
Okay. So you listen inwardly. And there's the inner voice of wisdom that comes.
Very wise. Very wise woman.
And yet there's not a connection between that and life itself. I can see it's familiar.
It's not just me. Yeah.
No. So what to do? What would you need to do to integrate this extraordinary wisdom that's bubbling away inside of you? What would you need to do?
Well, I came to you.
Yes, I know.
Well, I spend a lot of money to integrate my personality or whatever it is, all my parts.
Mm.
I can say at my age, well, that's it, you know. You can do nothing about it. I just can watch it, you know, observe, say, okay, that's it. But I don't want to. I really want to integrate those two voices. I don't.
Yes.
No, it's not two. If it was two, it was okay. It's like 10 or something like that. Maybe more. 10 that I know.
Okay. I wasn't counting on having 10 people on the dais here all at once. Okay. So, listening inwardly, you understand the teachings on right view, yes? Yes. In the Eightfold Path, the next thing that comes is intention. And it sounds like you're very good at setting the intention as well. Mm-hmm. When I get home, I'm going to do yoga and meditate, sit for hours.
Not for hours.
How long?
30 minutes is okay. 3 times a week. I bite.
Okay. All right. What stops you? What stops you? You have the understanding. You have the intention. But there's something else happening.
There is this creature inside of me. The tree prefers to watch Netflix. Or to play in the computer, or I talk to her or it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have agreements like, okay, I'll let you watch Netflix and I'll sit, you know.
Okay. So,
but it's like every day. It's every day I write to myself, okay, this is what you're going to do today. Okay, I have order.
So you have the list?
Yeah, I have a list. A very good one.
And total resistance to it.
Not at all.
Oh.
Not at all.
Okay, so what do you do?
Sometimes it's good. Sometimes I really want to understand why. Sometimes I can accomplish it.
Okay.
And go to it. And sometimes, and then at night I say, okay, you're very good. You've made it like 50%. And sometimes I say, you're so stupid. What's happening? Like, can't you control yourself? No control. Like it's totally different person.
Okay. When we want to control, what happens is within us there's the part that resists the control. So could you do something different? So rather than trying to control and therefore meeting resistance with discipline, with practice, with following through, with actions according to our intentions, is there another way to approach it rather than I am in control or I want to control or I must control? I must control something in order to achieve this is what's fueling the resistance.
I guess I should say love or something like that.
Try again.
To be more compassionate towards myself, maybe. To suggest, not to control. I don't know.
So to approach it without force. Hmm. Because the forcefulness, when someone tells you what to do, exactly. So can you just drop the I must and then explore if there's a different way of doing things? So of your list, is there one thing that is easy, that you love to do, that comes rather more easily?
I love it. I love it. Oh, really? I do love sitting. I do love exercising, yoga. I do love walking, and I have the time. Just as if I have to pay, you know, to pay, like to say, okay, you know, something, to make deals.
Yeah. So you make deals and you bargain. If I do this, I can have that. I can watch next Netflix if I sit for 10 minutes. Yeah. Or maybe I'll just sit watching Netflix and that'll do.
On Netflix. It can be done. Like,
okay. So, it's about letting go of the control, letting go of pushing, letting go of demanding that something be a particular way and meeting the activity of sitting in a different way, not forcefully, not as an obligation.
Are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking. How would you need to meet it? Because if I tell you what to do, you're just going to resist.
Yeah.
So how would you need to meet the sitting? Or is there a fresh way of approaching it?
I'm looking at my life like when... Do I don't resist?
Yes.
Okay. If someone suggests it,
yes,
not as like you have to, but maybe, or
you could do
you
this.
Could do this.
Yes.
Or
okay.
It would be very nice if you would.
Yes.
But I don't have this voice inside of me. I have to nourish it.
Yes.
In order to
yes.
be like.
Yes.
To be nice to myself.
Yes.
Well, it's.
There you go. Oh no, you can do it tomorrow. You can do it today. Start now. Don't wait.
I'll try.
Okay, so a suggestive, softer approach. What about commitment? What do you like with commitment?
That's good.
What would a small step be in terms of commitment?
The word trust is the word that arises.
Yes.
Like, I don't trust it, or I don't trust me.
Okay.
And I don't trust the process. Like it's not really... It's not only sitting, it's like everything that is good for me, okay? It's very easy to smoke or to drink or to do stuff. It's not good.
Yeah, to self-sabotage, to be self-destructive.
Very easy, very easy. So it's like smoking or sitting. It's like on the surface is like I choose the thing that is easier and makes more pleasure. Like.
Okay.
But
so
it's not.
It's going to require effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's right effort or wise effort with regard to this? And sometimes breaking a habitual habit or breaking a habit, rather, it just takes a fresh way of looking, a fresh way of seeing. It takes effort, it takes energy, it takes commitment, dedication. Is it easy for you to sit with other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Structure. Like from the outside, not at least at the beginning, not to count only on myself, but have like meetings or people that I do it with.
Yes.
So it's easier.
And yes.
It's like also people, they're pretty nice people.
They're okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So. They can connect.
Yeah. So there's the Buddha, the Dharma, and the third of the triple gem is the Sangha, the community. And sometimes we really need one another to break through, to shift some of the habitual patterns that have been there for our lifetime. And Sangha and community, Sangha means community, the community of meditators, is an extraordinary resource. And if you can't actually physically be with someone nearby, which you probably can in Israel, it's such a small country, there's all the meditation apps online where you can sit and see that you're sitting with thousands of people around the world, or you can do some of those.
Not working for you.
You want people, actual people. Okay, is there a group?
Yeah, many groups. I live in the center of the groups.
Okay. Okay. No excuse now. No excuse.
I think we can sell tickets.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, anybody? Come. Hi.
Hi. Ilan.
Oh, Ilan, yeah. Welcome.
Okay, so my problem is that I practice too much.
Is that you?
I practice too much.
You practice too much?
As opposed to the previous...
Okay. What's too much? Really. How not much?
Really. Like, I mean that during the meditation and during the retreat, I feel very connected to myself inside the meditation.
Yes.
And inside the practice. But like when there is a society and people around, I feel much less connected. And I feel that I need to prove myself all the time and to compare myself all the time. And then I like need to decide if I want to be alone, to focus, like to be with myself and to feel connected, or to be in the group. And
yes.
To feel the, like, the stress.
Okay. So how much time in your ordinary life do you spend alone?
I have a family and kids,
mm-hmm.
and friends.
Yes.
And I work with people and I manage people, so I'm not like...
Life is full.
Yeah, full. Yeah. But in some situations, it's more difficult for me. Like when there are stranger people, and a big group of people, and then like I mean that it's more difficult for me to take my place, and I feel like I need to fight on my place. Like this is like.
Do you feel you withdraw from the group? Is that what you're saying?
I feel very like maybe I don't know. I feel outside.
Yes. Strange. Yeah. Yes. So you feel alienated when you are with people.
Yeah.
Okay. You feel separate and not at ease. Okay. What do you think might help you?
Be you.
Because if you withdraw into practice and continue to sit a lot, not really addressing the problem of how to be with people easily.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yes, so I like try to combine it.
Yes.
So for instance, one example is that I like to eat with my eyes closed.
Yes.
And then in the dining room, it looks to me strange that people see me eating with my eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is one example that I practice it.
So, do you eat with your eyes closed in the dining room?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is one example.
And is it because you don't want to see people?
No. I want to concentrate on the food.
Okay. Fine. You want to concentrate on the food and do really mindful eating, so you close your eyes.
Yeah.
On retreat, this is no big deal, but if you were doing this at a party, could be seen as being a bit weird.
Yeah.
So here it's okay. All right. So when you are out with people, you feel a bit separate. What else? What goes on inside you?
I think I also like as like I think that I can contribute, or I have things to bring
to say. Yes.
Yes, which are important.
Yes, and so, do you say them, or do you hold back?
Depends on which situation.
Okay.
But not enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't speak up enough in social situations. You tend to feel awkward and withdraw and shut down and not interact.
It's more than 2 or 3 people. So.
Yes. But here, look, lots of people, certainly more than 2 or 3. Okay, so when you are sitting, tell me about the freedom you know. When you sit, what's your understanding?
I have everything.
Sorry?
I have like everything that I need.
Yes. Nothing's missing.
Yeah, nothing's missing.
What else? Keep going.
A lot of love.
Yes. Good to hear.
I'm able to like to be with a lot of pain during the meditation.
Yes. So there's a lot of equanimity and steadiness. Go on. What else?
There's judgment. There's compassion. Compassion.
Yes.
Now it was not like this before. Now I feel like.
Okay. Beautiful. So now you've stopped comparing yourself so much with others.
With myself to the meditation.
Yeah. Okay. So you stop putting pressure on your mind. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So in the sitting, you've managed to cease putting pressure on yourself. To have a sense of ease. A sense of, would you say, freedom? So you know that. You know that. Yes? Okay. Now look around there with that same sense of ease and freedom.
Nice.
Ah. See, it wasn't hard. Yes. So the inner ease and freedom needs to find expression. It needs to meet life. Just like that. Do it again. What's happening? Yeah. What do you feel is coming towards you?
Love.
Yeah. So do you think in social situations you shut down a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's the shift. In social situations, show your freedom. Be there. Really meet life rather than withdraw to the inner world. We discover so many things in meditation by being inward. Yet to live life fully, we have to relate. We're social creatures. And so it's about meeting life, revealing your freedom of heart, your wisdom. When you've got something to say, say it. It seems really odd saying that to someone from Israel because I have to say, culturally, people really do speak out. I love it, but some of my friends in Australia find it a little kind of difficult. It's part of why I love being here, the kind of directness and forthrightness and passion. It's fabulous. It's just fabulous. So bring that to meet life. You know the freedom. You have the practice background. You feel love and warmth. Ill will is completely absent. Yes? There's no ill will. Then you just meet life. just offering a short reflection on the inquiries today. With our practice, it's really important that the wisdom that emerges and arises can be integrated and be with our daily life. And in the first inquiry, we had the connection between the theoretical understanding of impermanence and the actual understanding of impermanence, which of course comes with some heartfelt feelings and a connection to the emotional world. And in this case, it was about the love for mother and how love liberates and releases us from the trivial difficulties that we have with one another. So when we really see impermanence fully, when we have that realization that we face loss, each of us, there's no escape from that. We face all kinds of losses. And how to be steady with that requires courage, it requires fearlessness, it requires wisdom and understanding. And in this case, we heard that the harsh voice needs to drop, needs to fall away. The harsh voice that lands inwardly sometimes and the harsh voice that lands outwardly. Impermanence, of course, also tells us that it is useless to cling. When we cling to that which we have without realizing that it's impermanent, when we grip and hold on to something and want it to stay and it can't, it doesn't, because everything shifts and changes. All conditioned phenomena are impermanent. When we really see that, we understand the wisdom of non-clinging. And this is fundamental to our practice. And then when we start going even deeper, we can reflect and ask, is there anything that doesn't come and go? This is an inquiry question related to impermanence. With the second inquiry, we heard about the wisdom that we can access on retreat. We can know with the head, but sometimes the transition into daily life doesn't quite make it. We heard about the relationship to being controlling. We heard how we don't respond very well to being forced or told what to do, whether we're telling ourselves to do it or whether someone else is telling us. And how a softer way of suggesting can really help, but also in terms of practice and discipline, there's the community, there's sangha, there's people to meet, and it's really easy to sit with others. So do join a group when you leave here. It's much easier to keep the Dharma connection alive when there's a regular sitting group and regular contact with the community of people who sit together and inquire together and make it important, if you like, or put it as a priority that we need to see into life and live life intelligently and as wakefully as possible. And then with the third inquiry, we heard also about the integration of practice and being with people and how if we hold back, if we feel withdrawn in social situations and feel awkward, it's very painful. So the wisdom from the sitting, the understanding from the sitting needs to meet life. And we meet life with that. And we have courage and we step through and break out of our restrictive patterns of behavior. In this case, it was a lack of ease in social situations. So slowly, slowly, we need to shift and change certain things and express our new understandings. So thank you, each of you, for your deep and very respectful and beautiful listening. And thank you very much to the three who inquired. There was a wonderful depth, but also humor. And when we don't take ourselves so seriously, it helps. Take care. Walking meditation now.